coming back. Something, huh? That was different. My mom. You know what your mom can do is trick you into talking about things like feminism. So there we go. So we found out that I'm not a misogynist, allegedly. I mean, but that's according to my mom, right? So she's like the, what's she gonna say, really? Well, she gonna be like, actually, son, I do think you're a horrible misogynist, so... You know, go die. She just left. I did that. You know what I thought a couple years ago that came out? I thought this was magic. And now it doesn't seem magic at all because I think it's always just been bullshit, which is the thing where you can take a check. Someone writes you a check and you take a picture of it and then it turns into money in your bank account. I remember I saw a commercial. You know how sometimes you'll see a commercial for something and think, well, we're in the future. We're here. You know, you see... I don't know. Usually it's a gum commercial where you're thinking, oh my God, what is this commercial? This must be for the newest computer technology that most people watching this commercial won't understand, but I will because I'm a futurist and I'm always on the cusp. And then it turns out to be, you know, it's a laser mint gum or something. I thought that the thing where you take a picture of a check and it's deposited, that's how I felt. Like I was watching the best gum commercial of all time. So, you know, but now I think it's just made me decide, oh, okay, fucking checks are just complete bullshit, right? I mean, why could you just take, what's next? I could just take a picture of money? Could you do that? I just send them an animated GIF of me fanning money and then it's in my bank account somehow? How is that different? What's the difference? And I've never tried, you know, I should try mobile depositing the same check twice. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could mobile deposit, let's say, 3 checks right in a row and then spend that shit and then, you know, kill yourself and be okay? You know, does that money go in long enough for you to end your own life and go that way? Who knows? These questions and more as we move into our second/third hour. I don't know. I guess it's 1:55. So we're moving into our second hour of intense radio action. We've had quite a day so far, haven't we? It is my 30th birthday. I wanted to do the part where I talk about some things, you know. So I did some traveling lately, so we're going to talk about that. Can you guess what the woman next to me on the plane had as a snack? I don't think you can, but, you know, use this time. Think about the weirdest thing you can think of, and we'll see how close you got. We're going to talk about... Did I have a note that says center, one remaining ball? I don't know what that means. We're going to talk about my hometown a little bit. How your friends punish you for having a birthday. My loud neighbors, my genetic test, 50 Shades of Grey, Carmen Sandiego, my 30 before 30 list, a catalog of things for deaf people, the laundromat, we'll get back there, Yiddish, how-tos, Clarissa Explains It All, sports and sex, and poetry, Pete's porn narration, We have a dead part. We're going to get into some, you know, after last time's rousing success. A rousing success. Ooh, that would be a rousing success. Good review. After last time's rousing success with porn, Pete's porn narration, I think we may go for some of that again. So hold on to your, you know, genitals. I turned in this folder when I was in eighth grade. We had to turn in a portfolio, and we had to write these introductions to all our different pieces and then an introduction to the whole thing. You know, so I put this whole portfolio together, and I spent a lot of time on it, printed out this picture of Batman and his utility belt and compared the skills I'd learned to his utilities. So, you know, the part where he has gas bombs, I put vocabulary, which is real. When you think of it, you're like, this is a cool idea, and then as an eighth grader, and then you start doing it, and you're like, this is fucking sad. I would much rather have gas bombs than a good vocabulary. You know, if someone was taking me down with their superior vocab, I would just fucking throw a gas bomb at them and run away, or throw it at them, and then they're just in unpleasant gas. What wins? A vocabulary or being trapped in unpleasant gas? You decide. I don't know how we got on this topic. I'm already losing the thread here, guys. So anyway, I had to write an intro to this whole thing. A little sip of coffee break there really brings it back to life. I had to write an intro, and I wrote this line that said something like, so strap in, hold on to your genitals, and here we go. And the teacher said, you can't put that in your portfolio. You know, to which I, in eighth grade, was thinking, why the fuck not? I mean, this is for you and me. Which now looking back, I'm like, it was for me and him. So I guess it looks like he was just reading it and he's reading kids talking about their genitals in eighth grade. It's a little weird. But I don't know. Fuck that shit. God forbid I take one modicum of interest in a school project for once in my life, you know? I put some fucking time into it and he's like, you can't say genitals. I said genitals. I didn't even say, you know, because I was going to say something about balls. And then I thought, hey, maybe a woman. Let's be, you know, like I said, I'm a feminist. I've made the transition in the last 2 minutes from not a misogynist to a feminist. So anyway, you know, I wanted to be equal. I wanted to say, hey, a woman has the, you know, you can hold on to your vagina. Hold over it. Hold on. I guess it depends how poofy it is. Anyway, there's a preview for Pete's porn narrations. She's got kind of a poofy vagina. We might try and give Comcast a call today. I received 2 phone calls in the last week from Comcast and 2 about a week before that, you know, asking me if I want to change to some kind of blast service where right now I've got horrible internet and they want to give me great internet for cheaper, which when they call, you want to say, okay, let's do it. But also you think this is sinister because why would they do that? So we're going to call them, and I was thinking of giving them scenarios. You know, I don't want them to call me again unless certain scenarios happen, and seeing if I could get them to sort of record this data. Say, okay, here are some scenarios I think that you could call me. If your whole building turns into centipedes and starts coming through the wires and is going to get to my house via the cable, and my whole internet just becomes centipedes, give me a call. Other than that, go fuck yourself. Later in the show, we are going to play a great game called Thins and Fats. This is a drinking game that I invented in the last year, and I've never gotten to play. It involves some cards that I made. And Val got involved and made some cards as well. Here's how it works, and you can actually play from home. You can have any number of people, minimum 3, right? Any number. Except 1, 2, or 0. And what happens is you draw a card, and it'll have a question on it. Thins and fats came from the first one I came up with, which is wallet. Everyone puts their wallet on the table. Thinnest wallet takes 1 drink. Fattest wallet takes 3 drinks. All others take 2. And you basically go through these different categories and weirdnesses, and that's how you relate to it. I wanted to create a drinking game that was unfair and very personal and would make people upset, but also that you could just jump in and play. You didn't have to know. You didn't have to go. You know what I hate in the board games? You get a goddamn board game. You spend, I feel like, an hour just like, what are the rules? All right. So no doing this. no doing that. And then you go halfway through the game and someone has to say, wait a minute, can you do this? Oh, no. Wait, yes, where are the rules? They're always printed on the goddamn top of the box or in a pamphlet that's lost immediately. You know, I give those board game instructions to me have to get the same respect as the religious tracts from the goddamn washing machine place. Wow. Laundromat. Ah. I did have a sandwich, and also I made this crockpot meal. I have a recipe for crockpot stuff. You ready? Take some chicken and some soy sauce and some broccoli and some potatoes and carrots. Put that in a bag. You can freeze it if you'd like. Then you put it in a crock pot for 6 to 8 hours. And then you have a nice mush, a brown mush that you can eat and survive on. It does feel astronaut-y on the plus. I feel like a spaceman because eating that, it's just a paste of nothing. It's madness. You know, there's nothing there that's food. It's just... it's a bunch of foods that you mashed into a... I don't know if the crock pot... I feel like the crock pot, instead of cooking things, just sent out a signal to, like, a Bigfoot, and he came over and smashed everything. You know, it's like a secret radio transmitter to a Bigfoot, and he waits till you leave for work, and he comes over and smashes it into a paste. I have a story about a professional cuddler that we'll get to. Something that just says work. I don't know what that means. Post office experience, of course. Die making love to a horse. I don't know what that is. Some cancer kids that I wanted to make fun of. Pretty good stuff. I mean, this is the kind of list, too, that you fear having around, because if someone finds this list, you know, if I die and they come to this list, they're going to say, Jesus Christ, you know, die making love to a... what has this guy been doing? I wanted to, you know, someone told me that there was this porno Tumblr, diemakinglovetoahorse.com, that had weird stuff on it. Now, I don't know if this is the right one. Because if it is, it's not very exciting. Yeah, die making love to a horse. It's basically just people having sex with black guys. Which, you know, I don't know. That's exciting. I mean, don't get me wrong. If that would be a very new experience for me. But it wouldn't be a new porno experience for me. Oh, Jesus. Okay. There's some gross stuff here. I don't understand. There's this pornographic thing. Let's just get right into it. Now that my mom's gone, you know, and I'm good and aroused since she was here. Let's just get right into it. I don't understand the thing they do in porn where they fill a woman up with their juices and then we get an image or video of the juices leaking back out. I'm not really sure. That seems like the worst part to me, that you just would have these fluids injected into you and then they're just leaking back out. Be like, ah, the sex would be real great if, you know what I would like? If the penis was like a pop gun, you know, where you stuff a cork in the end and you push the thing and it, and the cork shoots out, but it's attached with a string. Like if cum was just a string, and you came and a string shot out, and then it just retracted, you could add a little crank on my inner thigh, and I could just crank the string back in, and it was like back to normal. That would be great. That would be great for everybody, you know? It'd be really embarrassing if you forgot to wind up your cum string or something. But other than that, I mean, you know, that's the same as if someone just saw your penis. So what are you going to do there? But, yeah, I don't know why watching these fluids sort of ooze out of somebody, where that's going. I'm not really sure about this whole, you know, this website. I thought this was going to be seriously crazy. From what someone told me, it was going to be stuff like people having sex with horses and the insanest of the insane. Mostly it seems to be black guys with huge penises having sex with white women. I don't know. I mean, that's a fetish, I guess. I don't know. It seems more like a preference than a fetish, though. I don't think it's like, I want to have sex with a black guy is really a, like, whoa, Jesus, 50 shades of beige, brown, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't horrify me. the way, you know, I like to be horrified. If I'm being prepared to be horrified, let's horrify me, huh? Let's see what we can do. Now it's just topless women. This is a big disappointment to you who told me about this. This is not what I was oh, cartoon porn, that's fun. All right, I'm closing this. Obviously, I'm very, very distracted by this whole thing. I'm expecting a guest any moment now. So it's kind of a weird... This is the hard part of this show, when I'm expecting a guest. You know, what do? I just have to sort of run around like an idiot. But I don't want to get into anything too big, because then what happens, right? Then you're in the middle of something, and I say, all right, come sit down, but we're not going to talk about your thing. We're talking about my thing. This is about me, which is true. That part is true. I mean, where do you go from there, right? Let's do this. It is my birthday. I do feel like, do you guys feel like people punish you for having a birthday, basically? Because here's what happened. This is probably, to some people, going to sound like an old curmudgeon asshole. To them, I say, go fuck yourself. Get off my yard. Get out of my yards. Some shithead left, you know, trash sentence to blow. I think that the front steps down to my front door are this really, it's like a vortex that trash is drawn into. You know, it's swirling into it like a black hole. No garbage, not even light garbage, not even Miller Lite can escape its pull. So I get some garbage, and yesterday I had one of the worst. Usually I just pick it up and throw it away. On the way to the dumpster, on the way to the car, I just think, well, this is where I live, and I can't stand to look at this goddamn Funyuns bag on the way home, too. That'll push me over the edge. So I'll just throw it away. But this time, things went too far. Here's what I found. I was going out to the world. I was going out. I was going outdoors, out my front door at, you know, 4 p.m. yesterday. And there's the top of a Lunchables container, you know, the cellophane, just like it drifted down onto the stairs like an autumn leaf. It's even yellow, you know? So there it is sitting there, and I just thought, my God, this is the worst trash. I hate this so much. I'm just so upset. I'm having a hard time expressing it. I'm not failing to talk here. I'm very upset by the whole thing. I don't like it. I don't like that it's sitting there. I don't like that it's a Lunchable. That bothers me. Lunchable is the craziest invention to me. I mean, how did that become a company? This is like paper shredding being a business, right? How is that a business? You could buy a thing and just set it in your office. It's like a garbage can and shred paper as it comes. Or you'd hire a huge truck to drive around, which, keep in mind, you're paying for this truck to drive around all over, and the truck itself and the graphic designs on the truck, and it's just a huge shredder, which is, you know, that seems like a good idea. Oh, well, let's shred our documents and make sure all the shredded documents on the planet are together. All the important stuff gets shredded together. That's a good, I don't know, is that possible? They'll do this on a sitcom. They'll accidentally shred something, which I like. I mean, I don't know what workplace is. Ah, we've got our new policy printed up, and whoops, I accidentally shredded it, and they're just like, ah, man, it's gone. Nobody, we didn't save it, we didn't email it. I mean, whose fault is that, really? The new intern idiot's fault that he shredded something, or your fault because you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have printed out the most important document of my life on one sheet of paper and just handed it off to some man that I barely even know. Our guest is here. Let me put on some door-answering music, and I'll be right back.
She sold her Warlock and bought her drum machine. Fired her whole band 'cause they hated 9/11. dressed like nerds. And plays pop music of the future. But not a mover. She plays pop music of the future. Back in the 80s, she wanted to be in a hair band. And then in the 90s, she only wore corduroy pants. And then there was emo. Just a face. Cause it's all been downhill since Sunny Day Real Estate's first record. She plays pop music of the future.
I'm gonna turn this down a little bit and you can just say hello.
Hello.
Hey, we've got Matt with us today once again. It's been a while.
It's been since the last marathon.
Oh my god, so when was that? A year ago-ish?
Like December-ish, I think.
Yeah, episode 100.
Yeah.
So it's been a long 60 or so episodes since then. Have you continued listening to this show? Has this been a...
I have to admit, I miss a lot of episodes since Google Reader disappeared.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking me over. They're screwing my business
my
over
RSS
here.
Feeds were in there, and then I switched them to Feedly.
Mm-hmm.
And Feedly, rather than being a link in the browser, is an app on the computer for my Chromebook, so I miss them.
Oh,
I don't go to it unless I'm really bored.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Peter's
Holy
got
shit.
A thing.
I do a thing. A thing happens around here. It's okay. Don't worry. It's not a... My last guest was my mom.
Right.
And she's listened to maybe part of one episode, I think. She basically said straight up that she doesn't like to listen to it because I talk about porno and stuff too much.
Yeah.
So, which, as my mom, is a reasonable complaint.
See, I wouldn't want my parents to read my blog or anything, yeah. And
yeah.
Even though I link it to my Facebook, I know my dad can get to it easy, but...
Yeah. Now, your parents, are they on Facebook?
My dad is.
Your dad is on Facebook?
Sparingly.
Yeah. I don't know about this whole parents on Facebook business. I don't know if this is a good idea.
Oh, that I just write that off. That's the family thing now.
Yeah. It is. Facebook
I'll follow
has
news
become,
and a few
right?
friends. I don't have many friends on there anyway, so sister and dad, I'll talk to them.
It can be your family-friendly online zone.
Right.
Where it's safe.
And still share the politics that my parents disagree with, but
yeah,
right. Oh well.
Jesus. That's my mom. She was here. She was talking about politics, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
But your mom's like the NPR listener politics, not like my parents. But.
Yeah. You would think we would get along on politics, but we still don't somehow. You know, we still find a way to not get along. We're really good at it. She was, you know, we were talking about feminism, so that was a dangerous topic. She's definitely a feminist. Although I would say I'm not a non-feminist. I don't know. I don't know what a nothing is.
A feminist is just somebody who believes women should be equal.
Okay.
You're a feminist.
All right. Well,
I've had this complaint. You've had an episode on this before, and I had a complaint on it. I think you are.
I think I'm an equalist or whatever.
Yeah.
A feminist. Is that a thing?
A male feminist.
I mean, where I'm like, well, the feminine and the man, we both need a spot. There's got to be room for both, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I can't decide. So you rode your bicycle here today.
Yep.
How was that experience for you?
A little rough.
Yeah.
It's been 3 weeks. It's been in the shop.
Your bike's been in the shop?
Yeah.
Where does a bike go to the shop? Is there a bike shop in town?
Several. I just tried the second one out of the three that I'd go to. But.
Okay. Now, is the bike shop like the auto shop where they're just like, oh boy, we got all kinds of shit in here?
No, they're friendlier than that. They're not...
You're not worried that they're just trying to fuck you over the whole time?
Because it's going to fuck me over anyway, but...
That's true. It's just going to be constant.
I've put $200 into that bike this year, and it's like a one-year-old bike.
Now, what is the common... You know, I have a bike, as you can see behind you.
Right.
It is a mountain bike, because for some reason, if you lived in this area in the late 90s, your parents would buy you a mountain bike.
It was a biking trend, period.
Yeah.
I read magazines, they're always talking about, oh... The explosion in the popularity of biking in the 90s was all about the mountain bike.
Yeah.
And that's all that they sell at Walmart or anywhere, and everybody had one.
Which is craziness, because now when I ride it, if I ride it to work, let's say, no mountains. There's right. No off-roading, you know? In fact, it's on-road. It was a weird... I don't know why everyone assumed for a while, they're like, you know what I'm going to really get into? Going to the mountains and driving around on a bike. That sounds like a... I've done that one time, and it was terrifying.
I've done it one time. I had a good time, but my cousin fell over, like took a real nasty spill, so
yeah,
kind of ruined the day. But
yeah, I immediately realized I was in way over my head. Well, no, not immediately. When going up, I was fine. You know, coming down, immediately I was thinking,
like,
I'm going to probably die.
It was just a foothill.
Kind of thing.
We were doing like cross country paths up in Winter Park.
Oh, fuck that. No way. I would definitely die. You know, I would not know how to stop and just be like, well, I'm going to just have to keep going, and either I'll ride 8 miles onto the highway until I run out of speed, or I'll just go flying off this bike and then probably walk down dejectedly.
Right.
Dragging a bike behind me. So you do a lot of bike riding.
Now, Less this year, but yeah, I'd like to.
Would you say this is a bike-friendly area or not so much?
It's getting better.
Yeah.
Like the National Bike League just gave us a bronze rating for Greeley.
Okay. So
and
at least
of course,
that's
Fort Collins and Boulder are gold ratings every year.
Is that based on if there's bike trails and non-bike homicides for that
right.
year and stuff like that? I do. It is a weird... The bike thing is weird, you know, like I don't know sometimes when people, if I should go around them or, you know, if they're on the highway, let's say, I'll try and change lanes so I don't go
right.
shooting right past them.
Not on the highway, they should be on the shoulder, but yeah.
Okay. But in the regular streets, they could just be on the road or they
the
should be on the
street,
road.
The regular street, they have the right to the right lane.
Okay.
The thing I get frustrated with is how many people ride in all the way to the right in
yeah.
a right lane. That's like just begging somebody to try to pinch by them.
That's like
you're supposed to ride where the left wheels of the car would be and force people to change lanes to pass you.
Oh, see, that would work because then I would know. Because sometimes, yeah, you don't know. I can't tell if this person is really in the road or not in the road.
Right.
You know, when we took the motorcycle class, they basically said each lane, you should think of it as being three lanes. There's a center, a left, and a right, you know, because when you're that thin. So
yeah.
I guess a bike is kind of the same.
Right.
You can be on the left, the center, or the right. But if you're on the right, then everyone's just going to try and go past you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. That's a good idea.
Even people that are like dressed in their Lycra and on their fancy $3,000 bikes are doing this. I'm like, don't you know how to protect yourself? You should know better.
Yeah, I mean, I would think I'd rather have people try and go around me than squeeze past. Because you don't know they're coming sometimes, I'm sure, right? And then they just...
I keep a mirror since I city ride.
Yeah, it's probably smart. For me, it's like, well, here's my crazy bike that I don't know if it's going to work today, and I have no mirror and no helmet, so let's get it on, you know? I guess I own a bike helmet, but I feel like it's got to be like 20 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be good, right? Did they
deteriorate? It's styrofoam. It might. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know how to test it without breaking it.
I'm kind of on the side that, you know, it's not necessary. I wear it just, if I'm going more than like 3 miles, I'll wear it. But
yeah.
It just gives the idea that you need extra special equipment to ride, and you really don't.
Yeah. I do see
if you get hit by a car, it's not going to help you.
Have you seen this story? I'm sure you have online about the invisible bike helmet.
I vaguely saw something go by and didn't really look into it.
Me neither, because it shows this woman and her hair is like perfect and it's like the invisible bike helmet. But I was like, if it was a helmet and invisible, it would still mash your hair down.
Right.
You would just look like you had shitty helmet hair without the helmet. What's the point of that?
That's what I was confused by the picture, but yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, it needs to be
looking into it any further.
Well, and then a couple years
things
ago,
go too viral, I just ignore them.
You're just like, this is obviously bullshit.
I was done.
We're like, they had, did you see the hairmet a couple years ago? It was like a tall bike helmet.
I've seen it on Scrubs.
Yeah.
They had an episode where JD was wearing one on a scooter, yeah.
Yeah, because he had tall hair.
Yeah.
But I don't have tall hair. You know, I just have shitty hair, but then it gets mashed shittier when I wear a helmet. So I don't. It's a weird thing because on the one hand I'm like, I don't really want to wear a helmet, and then my hair looks like shit. But on the other hand I'm like, well, my hair's gonna look like shit regardless. So at least I could be like, well, it was a helmet. I'm into safety. Thank you very much, assholes. Your hair looks fine though.
Yeah, you had a helmet. Didn't look in the mirror. I styled it and then got to put my helmet on.
I would never know you were wearing a helmet. It's all working. You have very nice hair. Always coveted. Matt's hair.
It's nice and thick, but it does some weird stuff. So
yeah, well, we all pay the price, right? It's on some level. Yours is thick and does weird stuff. Mine's thin and oily, and sometimes it looks like I glued it to my head, or just glued it and then spiked it, but not in a sensible way. It's just all over the goddamn place. So you did some art,
yes.
Based on, we had an episode. It was me and my brother. He was on the phone. I was trying to remember what we talked about so I could guess what this art would be based on. And the only thing I remembered was what he brought up was, I think there's some part about us tag teaming a woman, which I was like, oh, dear God. I
completely forgot about that until he brought it up. And I made a nice joke on Facebook that, yeah, that's in my slash fiction pile NaNoWriMo's over.
Your helpful snowman slash fiction.
My podcast slash fiction. Like, after I get done with that Pepitone Mark Maron one, I'm going to go to that.
I always thought it's funny when people have Mark Maron on their show. He seems like one of the most aggressive guests. Yeah. You know, he always gets in a fight with somebody. On his show, it seems fine most of the time. Yeah. But then if he's on someone else's show, almost, if there's more than one person, someone's going to be unhappy. Right.
Did you hear him and Kumail Nanjiani on Doug Loves Movies?
Yeah, that was uncomfortable. Oh, like listening to it.
And then Pardo and Nanjiani did it again a few weeks later.
Oh, did they really?
So I think it's Kumail's fault.
Maybe he brings it on. Something about him that people don't like. They don't trust him.
He's too nice.
Maybe he's up to something. Yeah, he seems nice. He seems nice to me, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're threatened by him. I'm not sure. So you made some art.
I've got two pieces based on that episode.
Holy shit. Okay.
You had talked about the number one fan of Helpful Snowman.
Oh, right. A debate
having
over
a contest in December.
Right.
And you called it Helpful Snowball or something like that.
Okay. Oh, my God. These are like real logos.
And the other one is inspired by Ian's karate class.
Snowbrook High? Oh, my God. These are fucking amazing. Can I keep this?
Yeah.
This is great. You're a real graphic artist.
Nah, something.
No, these are great. Yeah, you also did, I'm sure people have seen by now, the Face Off Snowman right. parody. I want to put this somewhere where I'm not going to destroy it.
Spill beer all over it.
I'm going to put it right here. Far out of my own reach. So that I can't possibly do anything with that. I was just talking about, before you got here, thank you so much for these.
Sure.
About how people...
When I was listening, I'm like, oh, I followed the Super Bowl logos for a long time with trading cards. I could pencil yeah. out something, a little something out of that.
Did you have a lot of trading cards as a kid?
I still do.
You still do?
All football cards, mainly. Football. But.
I had a lot of cards, but almost no sports cards. Right. I had all this other weird, you know, I had like Desert Storm cards.
Oh, I had those.
You know, I was like, so I got a Colin Powell.
I had a couple packs of those. I had a pack of like WCW cards, yep. even though I was a WWF fan.
Yep. Some wrestling cards.
I'm like, oh, Sting, I know that guy.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cards, Marvel cards. And these were all in the same album. You know, it was embarrassing when I got more mature. And I had friends who had cards, and we'd share them because they had all sports cards. And I'd be right. like, oh, these are my TMNT cards. You know, if you put these all together, it makes the turtle blimp or something. And, you know, it's weird in life you grow up to this point where you're too old for Ninja Turtle cards, but not too old to be looking at sports cards with your friend.
Right.
Do kids...
I think the only ones that are worth money anymore are those Desert Storm ones. Probably. I don't know where they are.
That's probably the only... Because three people bought them, right. you know, and there's one kid who didn't even open them.
The campaign around drumming up support for that war was just insane.
It's pretty weird.
Looking back on it now that we're perpetually in war.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird like to think building of buying those, cards.
They were trying to get us all into this and all excited about this because they knew this was what was coming.
Yeah, they're like, we'll get these kids into, instead of playing basketball with basketball patriotism. Cards, let's get them into, yeah.
General yeah, I mean, Norman Schwarzkopf.
Yeah, it was all the generals. And they're just a bunch of old, like, sloppy-looking white guys I've never heard of. And then there was, like, I had one that was a Scud missile,
right.
which is weird. Like, okay, so this is a
patriot,
thing to kill people. Maybe. That's really, you know. Meanwhile, you get the idea, you know, I get a picture of a missile and this and that. No one would ever be like, Iraqi kid corpse. You know? Oh, did you get the one who got his head blown off? Oh, I just got the one with no legs. It's, you know, like, they would never go that far. That's a line somehow. But meanwhile, all this other shit is like, what a great thing for American boys to have, you know, put in the spokes of their bikes while they drive their bikes around. I was getting into, you know, so it's my birthday and you are older than I am.
Not a lot.
Couple years
older. So you've been 30 before.
Yes.
How was 30? What was it significant? Let me ask this way. Was like 28 and 29 horrible?
I haven't noticed any difference in a long time.
Okay. That's a bad sign for me. If that's because right. 28 and 29
I think the life
bad.
Changes aren't so much age, but you know, the who you're hanging out with and what you're doing and
that's true.
How much your job is taking up your life and not allowing you to enjoy the outside of your job life. And
that's probably true. That's a good point because yeah, if things are basically the same, 28, 29, 30, you know, 30, it will be horrible to turn 30. But on the other hand, I guess if things are okay. I mean, it's not about being old.
Right.
I don't feel old, you know. I don't feel like you're old at all. But I don't know. It's like it's just a landmark time where right. you're just like, is my life better or worse than it was at 20? And you're like, it might be worse.
I spent my 25th birthday on the side of I-25 in a broken down truck, so...
So that's bad.
30 I spent with you guys at the comedy club, so that was a...
So that's pretty good. Yeah, maybe what I need to do, maybe next year, is have like a real shit birthday. A real horrible, horrible day. Like, just plan an activity I do not want to do. You know, I had this all-night nightmare the other night that I was going on a plane trip to Italy that I did not want to go to. And I had this extended family that was going. And, you know, it's not a dream story so much as I couldn't figure out when I woke up. I was like, why was I so dreading a trip to Italy? I was like, this is going to be the worst. I can't fucking believe I agreed to this. I wish I was at home, you know? I don't know why I brought that. Oh, anyway, so I should plan something like that, though, where I'm just dreading it. A week ahead, I'm dreading it. then it happens, and then I fucking hate it, you know? And then after that, it's just, I'm just glad that's over. Just glad that shitty thing that happened is all over. I did, so in preparation for this year, I created a list of 30 things to do before I turn 30. So we could go through and talk about some of these. But, you know, these are about me. Did you have any, like, life goals? Did you do this?
I think I come up with a similar list at, like, December or something. My birthday's in January, so I'm like, it's just a little late.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I must have done mine in the summer. I think I did this instead of my usual summer list,
yeah.
You know, so I had no fun this summer. But
join the club.
Yeah, right? Fuck the summer. I am so glad the summer's over.
I love the summer, but this summer sucked, so.
Did it?
Yeah.
Bad?
Yeah.
What was bad about this summer?
You know what happened to my family. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had some bad family stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will kill a summer. That will ruin a summer. You know, meanwhile, I'm sitting here like, I don't really care for the heat. You know, my air conditioner is very inadequate for my apartment size, and its location is not preferable. Like, yeah, we had a pretty life-altering event this summer. I'm like, yeah, that's bad also.
But I had AC.
Again, my thing, yeah. So. Oh, yeah, yeah. So really, we're about the same.
Cycling in the summer the past couple of years, I've gotten really used to
sweating
it out and doing work in the heat. So I've really started enjoying it.
Well, that wouldn't be so. Do you remember any of the things from your list? I wasn't sure when I made this.
I make these lists like you do every year. Then, like, I'm not knocking these out.
I'm not doing. I barely did any. Like, let's see. I had to make a good pizza recipe. I tried. God, did I try. Pizza is hard to make at home, is what I've discovered. Good pizza. I don't know. Well, I had a hard time.
I've got a pretty simple crust recipe. That's
the part I struggled with.
I made a few weeks ago. I made it with wheat flour, so it didn't turn out very well that ways, but I needed some white flour in there. But
I think I need like a second opinion because I got this recipe from my uncle, you know, and his spells are like, Well, yeah, his recipes are like spells, you know, and they have these mystical elements to them. And then he'll send these packages of what look like drugs. You know, it's spices and stuff just in a baggie rolled up. It's like
I buy it natural grocers, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say, what is this stuff you sent? And he'll be like, oh, it's pizza pizzazz. I'm like, what is pizza pizzazz? Who knows what pizza pizzazz is? Red salt? I have no fucking... I put it on the pizza. I still have no idea what it is.
Italian seasoning and eye of newt.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a witch's brew dried out that's on my pizza. I mean, it worked, but I feel like maybe there are some... You know, it's hard to know what you're doing wrong until you've done it wrong. Let me tell you the big problem I've had with this pizza recipe. So I thought I went all out, you know, and I bought nice ingredients and I bought nice mozzarella. Like fresh.
Right.
But it doesn't melt. Yeah. Is that the same experience you've had? Are you
I've never
about
used
this?
The fresh mozzarella.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. I think I should have bought
I'm vegan now, so I know all about non-melty cheeses. But there's some good melty vegan cheeses, too, that I use. So.
What's the element that makes them melty? Because obviously in fresh mozzarella, is it too watery? Is that the problem?
I'm not sure the science behind it.
It was just like soft discs. It stayed. You know, I cut
but
it real
I know
thin.
When you look at like the chefs using fancy fresh mozzarella, it's like a big loaf and doesn't look like it's going to shred like the stuff you buy that melts.
No, you cannot shred it. It just crumbles.
When you see like somebody from Italy make a Neapolitan pie, it's with like big ovals of mozzarella on it, not melted shreds.
That's kind of what it turned out like.
Right.
Also, his recipe called for making this sauce, which it was about, you know how like a Chicago-style deep dish pizza is like a pizza soup in a bread bowl kind of thing?
Right.
It was like that much sauce. I couldn't figure, I had enough sauce for four more pizzas. I could not and I was trying to think, would this be okay as spaghetti sauce, or would it just be like SpaghettiOs or something? Would it be vile, or would it be okay?
I think it should cross over, but...
It was okay. You know, if I didn't know it was supposed to be pizza.
When you buy pizza sauce, it seems a little more dense than your marinara. But
yeah, it wasn't too bad. But I think it was the knowledge. You know what I mean? I couldn't unring that bell and know that this was not meant for pizza. And for whatever reason, that just struck me the wrong way.
And it had pizza pizzazz in it, and that's not good for
pasta. It did have pizza pizzazz and
not pasta pizzazz.
Exactly. I need another thing. What else do we have? Oh, to do an open mic. I did do that.
You did.
I did like three
or four
of those.
That was on my list for the year, too. I still haven't
You know, I went to the Down Under here in town, which is an okay place, but every time I went, there were five people there, and they're the other open mic people.
Right.
You know, so it's weird to go, and you see the same open mic people, and they're kind of, like, upset when no one's laughing, but I'm like, I saw you do this a week ago.
It's a little inside baseball. We're all too familiar here.
I would say I had medium success. You know, when I talked about staying in a hotel and passing out in Doritos, that one went over pretty well. But then I talked about having genital warts, and they did not like that one. I don't think I realized at the time that when you have 5 minutes, they don't really know you well enough to know it's okay to laugh at these things. It's not like this where I'm talking for 7 hours. It was just immediately up there, and they're just like, okay, this guy has lost his fucking mind already. And who knows? Maybe it wasn't funny. But I don't know.
Do you work on Tuesday nights?
No.
We should hit that one at the distillery.
Oh, they have one there?
Yeah.
We should go there.
Yeah.
I would like to try it again. I think I could do it again. You know what the hard part is for me is getting used to working up something, you know, like working it out and doing it over and over before I go do it there. I'm used to just coming up with things as I go.
Right.
But I don't know if that works.
Like where I've even emailed you before. I'm like, you should use that.
And I was like, I should keep track of these things.
Put that in your 5 minutes.
I did talk about, I think you'd said once when I was on cold medicine and talking about being at the Walgreens. I think I talked about that. All right. Well, we should do that on a Tuesday.
I've got like one line of jokes and it's all would go by too fast to even bother. So I'm like, eh. Even though I used to be a lead singer in a band, I'm still like scared about getting on stage in front of people. It's been too long.
Yeah, it was a little terrifying. Not going to lie. I think they probably do good beer sales on the open mics just because people are like, I need a bracing beverage before I hit the stage here. And you know what, though? I don't know. If you have one line of jokes and it takes a minute and a half, I don't think anyone's going to be pissed off if you do your thing and then you're just like, all right, everybody, thanks. Just leave.
Keep thinking about Birbiglia's movie where he goes up at this talent show and gets done with his two jokes and the guy goes, okay, that was a comedian, everybody.
That was a comedian.
I guess.
Yeah. I think it's like, to me, it's the analogy of, you know, if somebody, if I'm in class, like in college, and the professor's got 40 minutes of stuff for an hour class, and they're just like, well, that's it for today. I'm like, hey, great. Let's get out of here. So I think it'd be fine. Do a marathon show.
Done. Well, not done yet.
In progress. We'll be done. Write a letter to bring Voodoo Donuts to Denver, which turned out to be completely unnecessary because that's happening. Which I am extremely excited about.
I see you salvaged my bottle from the party.
That's one I had from a real horrible New Year's.
Okay.
But it's the same bottle.
Right.
Yeah, it was in Portland, and I went to Voodoo Donuts. I think I probably ate Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
They're so good. Man.
I don't know what the excitement is, but maybe I'll find out.
I mean, they're good as donuts. You know, I don't know if I would make a special trip once a week or anything to Denver. But
I'm like, why doesn't Denver have like anything that gets that excitement?
Yeah, why don't they have themselves?
Like, I'd say
good question.
Good Times is the best burger I've ever had, but nobody raves about Good Times the way they do In-N-Out.
That's true.
They want an In-N-Out in Denver. Well, why don't you go try this? Why don't you go try the stuff what we have is cool here?
That's true. I think there is good stuff.
There's probably got to be a good donut shop in Denver.
I don't know. I've looked up on Yelp. I'll look up best donuts.
Yeah.
Here's the problem I have, though, because I'm a donut guy, not a morning guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's my fantasy to be an old man who goes to the donut shop every day. And actually, my other fantasy is to own a donut shop and be the surly guy who gets there at 4 a.m. and makes donuts and sells them sort of grumpy, but, you know, soft-hearted and plays whatever music the fuck I want on there.
Right.
And people come in with their kids and they're like, you shouldn't play this music. It says fuck. And I'm like, you should
fuck
go
off.
Somewhere else. Yeah. Enjoy a donut from 7-Eleven, idiot. You know?
You want the donut? You get the fucks.
Yeah. The fantasy gets pretty involved. It goes so deep as owning my own donut shop where I tell old people to fuck off. Not old. I tell parents to fuck off because they brought their kids into my donut shop.
Why'd you bring your shitty kids?
Yeah. Well, get a deaf kid next time. I don't know. Get a breathalyzer. I did that.
What?
I got one for Christmas. Actually,
the actual machine?
It's like a mini one.
Okay.
But it seems to work. Here's the problem I've found with the breathalyzer. You know, if you're like in the middle of drinking, it's difficult.
If you just took a sip, it's going to blow off the charge.
Yeah, you'll be screwed. I don't know where the little, there's these little nozzles. They're not in here. But anyway, yeah. BAC track, select. So I got that thanks to my brother for Christmas last year. We had a real nice Christmas where, you know, we're opening presents, and one of the presents I got was a breathalyzer. You have to explain to your mom. No, this is because I do this radio show, not because it was a goal, not a preventative. I just told my mom while she was here the oft-told story of my brother throwing up in my car, which she didn't know about, which was nice because I was like, oh, he hates when I tell this story, so I'll give you the light version, you know. What would this show be without that?
That damn one-up arcade, man.
I know. I puked there. He puked there. Although
you made it okay last time we were there.
I did.
You know, Nick and Orr got a little too friendly, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I did have one of my... well, I was going to say my first gay experience, but that's not even close. Perhaps my most intense. Let's call it that. There's something about the barcade where I think I just become entranced by the video games, and I'm just... don't even pay attention to how much I'm drinking, you know? You don't have... The problem is, like, you turn around and buy a beer and then turn around and you're back at Pac-Man. So it's not until you're like, steadying yourself on the machine. And it's not until you've had several drinks.
I guess I have noticed that a lot. Like, I stayed up later last night because I was doodling.
Uh-huh.
Than I have been when I just sit and stare at the TV.
Right.
Or if I'm playing a video game, I'll stay up later.
Right. Yeah, the time.
It's the same, like the time just disappears when you're doing something while you're getting wasted.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Video. I used to do that. I would drink and play games, and it got to where I would be too drunk to play video games. Like, I could not function. I couldn't see what was going on. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's too wasted. If you're sitting here, you know, you want to have a couple beers and play some video games, that's fun. But when you're playing Gears of War and you cannot discern the enemies from the landscape and it seems like it's moving at 20 times the speed, this is a problem. This is not a good situation. Let's see. I wanted to hold a book I've written in my hands. Well, that obviously didn't happen. Day drink?
Well,
I'm sure I have or will today. I don't know. I haven't been doing... Oh, I did playing golf.
Yeah.
I extremely day drank. Yeah, my mom asked me if I'd thrown up from drinking in a while. I was like, no. And then I said, oh, wait, yes. It was like a month ago. But before that, I swear it'd been 2 years.
I've never thrown up from drinking.
Ever?
Never.
Wow. Have you been close?
Maybe a couple times.
It,
I don't...
Not too much? How does that happen?
There was one night we went to the bar, and then I was working at a restaurant at the time. We went back to the restaurant after the bar and snuck in the back and made sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
and I think I got sick from the sandwich.
Ah, okay.
So it was a 50-50 call, but...
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think the food combos really throw it off, you know, where you're like, I think I would have made it if I hadn't eaten 150 red vines also.
8-year-old salami.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I made scrambled eggs and salami once when I was sick from drinking. That was a mistake. Heartburn. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are people who've never thrown up from drinking. I'm just astounded by it. Not because, I mean, as I've aged, it's easier to know. Like, I know when I'm getting in the danger zone. That's the hard thing. It's not about knowing your limits. It's about knowing when you're like, uh-oh. I'm just violating my limits. Now's the time to stop. But also, though, as like a, you know, a single white man, I mean, not living in the city or anything, there's no danger to me being extremely wasted. Mm-hmm. It's not like someone's going to take me in the other room and do something to me. You know,
Choking on your own vomit.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest fear, you know, but I'm not afraid. I'm not a back sleeper anyway, so I think I'll be fine. You know, probably. And I've never puked in the bed from drinking. I puked in the bed as a kid, but
remember getting sick as a kid, just everywhere. You can't control it.
Yeah, something about when you're a kid, you don't know you're about to puke. I have this distinct memory of one time we went up to the mountains. We're in this cabin or whatever, and I felt real sick, and I was, you know, I didn't really know what was wrong. I was crying because you're just a kid. And then I was like, I think I'm just homesick. So I called my mom and talked to her, and then I was like, I feel much better, and then immediately puked. Like, as soon as we got off the phone,
Vacation ones are the best. Yeah. My family went on a vacation to visit some family friends in Texas one time, and the first night we were there, they made this peanut butter Chex mix dish,
yeah.
And we just all scarfed it. And then we all woke up in the middle of the night just puking everywhere. And we wake up in the morning, and the mom of the family we were visiting goes, oh, the peanut butter good stuff strikes again.
Strikes again.
This has happened before? And you fed it to us?
Well, I thought
there's something wrong with your recipe.
I mean, yeah, if that happened before, I think I'd say, like, I'm going to try this out. Just if I felt the need
my family.
For some reason. Yeah. How about a little warning? Because if that was the case, I'd be like, I'll probably pass. You know, if this is about getting sick or not, I'll just eat Oreos. That's okay. You know. Or nothing. Oof. Yeah, I would be pretty pissed off. I don't know if I could let that go. Let's see. Oh, I was going to beat The Legend of Zelda. Did not accomplish that.
I started thinking that I see people like bragging about beating video games all the time on Twitter and stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
never beat a video game. Except to rescue the embassy mission.
That's
that had like
best
two
fucking game.
Two levels.
I love that game. Yeah, you sneak into the building and then you snipe people, sort of. It's like the first person shooter ever.
Right.
And it's great. Yeah, that was good. And the guys it's like Mike, Jim, and Jumbo or something like that.
I've still got it, and I've still got an NES system, but it doesn't start up right.
I played that on an emulator.
Yeah.
And it was as good as I remembered. This is the best game, I thought. Well, because you can beat it in 8 minutes. You know, that's the whole game. It's great. I didn't even really understand what it was when I was a kid either. It's like the embassy mission, because this embassy is taken over by, I guess, terrorists or something. And you bust in and
scale down
kick
the side
of
the building.
Yeah, you like go
break
on
in the window.
Yeah, that part's hard. I never quite got that down the way I would have liked. Because you kind of go, but if you go too fast, you just fall off the side of the building. Right. So I didn't beat The Legend of Zelda. I had a lot of help from Nicanor. We got much further than I would have on my own, but I suck. I am not good at video games. I've had to come to grips with this as an adult, you know? I was going to go visit the Mall of America.
Minnesota's been on my list the past 2 years. And
I'd like to go there, too.
Actually, just leaving the state is on my list every year, and it's another year it hasn't happened.
How many years has it been since you've left this beautiful state of Colorado?
Six.
That's a long time.
I think that was our last trip to Vegas.
You got to at least make a drive up to Wyoming.
Yeah, I could just go to Cheyenne if it gets to crunch time. But
yeah, just fly up there Christmas morning. Yeah, I don't know. I've always wanted to go to the Mall of America since I was a kid. I don't know why. I'm sure it's horrible.
It's half empty like any other mall, but it's got an amusement park and a comedy club.
Yeah, I don't know. And I've heard it's not that far from Minneapolis.
Right.
You could just get there. So really, if I could just go there, go to the Mall of America for a day, be like, well, there's another dream from childhood that I've really managed to ruin.
An indoor roller coaster. Yay.
Yeah. Ooh. The only adult on the indoor roller coaster. But I don't know.
The closed down Hulk Hogan Pasta Mania.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Hulk Hogan Pasta Mania?
Kulop's always talking about having worked there on Who Charted.
What were they? Did they have to wear like Hulkamania tank tops and stuff, and bandanas and sunglasses? Welcome to Hulkamania. What was it called?
Hogan's Pasta Mania.
Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania. Are you ready to get pastified or whatever?
Try the pasta pizzazz.
Oh yeah, Jesus! I bet the dishes have great names too. Andre the Giant Memorial Pasta. And it's like big thick noodles or something like that. Let's see. I was going to try for a 24-hour period of silence. Did not make that, obviously.
Why would you do that?
For some reason, that stuck in my mind. I had this asshole teacher who was saying he did that one time. He was driving to Alaska, and so he just figured he'd try and be silent for 24 hours.
Shut everything else off, too?
Well, he just wasn't talking. Okay. I don't know. I think he could listen to stuff. Yeah, sorry, just like not say anything for 24 hours.
That would appeal to me.
Yeah.
I've thought about, you know, turning off my stereo in the car or something.
Yeah, I think
it's like
you're
distracted
weird,
enough, right? In the damn car.
I don't know if I, you know, I don't know why. I just thought that it's something about, like, I just want to prove to that teacher that he's an asshole and just be like, I did it. It was not a big deal. You know, write him a letter now. He doesn't even remember who I am. Probably doesn't remember that story either. I'm like, remember when you told us about that? Because you were probably like 24 and I thought you were an adult, but really you're just like an idiot. Well, turns out it's not a big deal. You were wrong. You were wrong about your spiritual...
Love how cool we thought 24-year-olds were.
Oh, my God. I thought this was like an old man, you know? And he had it together. And I
can tell you're younger than the other teachers, but you're still an adult.
Yeah.
He's got it together. No.
He's driven to Alaska. He's a car that could make it to Alaska and back. You know, obviously he's got something going on for him. Then you get older and you realize, like, I could call in sick on a Monday and drive to Alaska. I mean, that's not... the biggest thing ever, you know, it's not a huge deal. So yeah, I guess there's just bitterness there. I wanted to see a space shuttle launch.
Too late.
Yeah, that's maybe never happened. I mean, we'll see
a Soyuz launch in St. Petersburg or Vladivostok or something.
Yeah, I'll have to travel to go somewhere else. That's kind of a bummer.
It's a huge bummer.
They should have made that a bigger thing. Like, come here, see the space shuttle launch, get a flight suit.
I would have loved to seen that, but... Yeah. They've got some cool displays of the space shuttle in museums now I'd like to go see.
Maybe that'll have to be the new. I'd like to go to
that Smithsonian. I think the one in Houston was like, it's all set up indoors with all the stuff like extended out of it and on a platform you can just look into it and like, oh, that's freaking awesome.
See, I've always thought I need to make a trip to Texas, like a huge road trip / trip because... There's so many things to see there, but it's so goddamn far apart, you know? There's like three things in Dallas and three things in Houston, and then I'd like to go to Austin. But I need to give it between them. I don't know.
Austin or Houston are close. And
yeah.
There's a cool like that. Train that goes from like Houston through San Antonio or El Paso or something.
Yeah, like Texas is almost like... I treat the idea of visiting Texas like going to a foreign country.
Right.
I'm like, I'm probably never going to come back here again, so let's let's make the most of this. Wanted to fly first class. Have you ever flown first class?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I've rarely flown at all, so.
I don't know if I've been on a plane that has first class. Right. Like, I did.
I think I did when I was in high school when we went east.
Yeah. Flew... In a plane that had first class?
Yeah, like a...
It looks decadent.
American Airlines plane that definitely had different sections.
Yeah, I feel like... You know where I see first class is in, like, Esquire. And they'll show, like, this is the new first class seats they have.
Esquire's horse shit. I love so many things about it, but then they get into, like, fashion and lifestyle and stuff. It's like, nobody makes this much money out here.
I know, I hate the fashion.
I can't go buy, like, $300 shoes. That's not cheap.
Well, and the fashion is weird because the fashion is very specific.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess if I could afford to dress like this every day, that would be great.
For your Wall Street executives that you're catering to, yeah, I guess. But
yeah, or like, you know, but it doesn't make sense for me to dress like this one day and tomorrow I'm wearing my $300 version of the same outfit, you know? Or it's like, oh, it's like if you go to work every day, you either have to wear a suit every day or never.
Right.
Because if I go to work in a suit, the whole day is just going to be like, well, 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 Mr. Fancy Suit. You know? Why are you wearing a suit?
The day after a haircut.
Yeah. I did do, when I flew back from Portland, what I consider a baller move for me, which is I paid like $15 to sit in the stretch seating. Not because I thought I needed the space, but because it was at the front of the plane. And I was so upset with everything, and I was like, I cannot stand to sit in the back of the plane and wait for everyone to get off. It takes forever. It takes like a half hour to deboard, you know, which was the worst because I rode a bus out there. I was out there and I rode a bus from Portland to Seattle. It's like a 3-hour bus. Everyone's got luggage and stuff. Mm-hmm. Took 4 minutes to get off the goddamn bus. And I was like, this is the same thing. Why isn't this on the, you know, why is this so different? I don't understand.
Too many rules.
Yeah, there are too many rules. So many rules.
And it's everybody's joke right now about all the rules that it takes to plane and deplane.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous. I did, you know, and I made an idiot out of myself because I'm sitting up there and I didn't realize there's a tray table. It's like in the arm of the seat. You unfold it, right, and then it folds out. I had no fucking idea. So I was just sitting there trying to like hold this. I had a coffee on my lap. And then the guy next to me eventually unfolded his to do some business shit. And then I was like, oh. So I had to wait. Yeah, I probably waited 30 seconds, but I wanted to do it immediately, unfold mine. But I didn't want it to look like I didn't know that that was an option. Yeah, I was just like...
Sorry, that was a visual effect I just did on a podcast.
It's okay.
My favorite thing in the world.
An act out on... I seriously saw him do it, and the thing came out, and I just... It blew my mind for a second. I was like, where did that come from? Do I have one of those? And I kind of like tentatively touched the armrest and was like, oh my God, I do. So that's the closest I've been to first class, was flying in the front row. I didn't even look into this. So they used to have in, I don't know, some backpacker or some magazine I had that you could ride like ATVs through the sand dunes for a week. And I thought that seemed like a great idea. So I thought I should do that, but I never did.
Right.
I don't know if I really want to do that anymore. Maybe.
The last time we went snowshoeing, I told you about my feelings about off-road vehicles, so that
not
goes against me. But
yeah, I mean, I think it might be fun for a day.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, like a week-long desert trek.
That's another thing that's like in this state that I've never gone to.
The sand dunes.
The sand dunes.
They're pretty cool. Yeah, I don't think these are in our sand dunes. I think they're in some crazy... desert, I guess. I have no fucking idea. I don't know why. That's another one of those things from my past that just when I would look through this magazine, I'd be like, that looks pretty cool. I think I could do that. That would be fun, tearing ass through the desert. And then now it's like, it'd be fun for 10 minutes.
The childhood fascination with the dune buggy.
Yeah, it's like dune buggies. Yeah, that you drive through the sand. But then
there's still some adults who are into it, but not as many as there are kids.
No. Yeah, and I think I'm good for an afternoon. Yeah. And here's the other thing you find out about these things, you know, it's not like they're going to just let you, you know, you get in the dune buggy, turn the key, and they're like, all right, see you later. You know, they're going to be with you. They're not going to let you jump over things, you know, or run on the road and race cars on the road or something. It's going to be a controlled environment.
You're not catching air first time out.
No. I'm not doing front flips in a car somehow in the desert. So with that knowledge, it's a little sad. To do 7 radio shows in 1 week, well, that's not going to happen. Did pretty good this year, though.
So it looked like you upped your output recently.
Yeah, I think we did like every 3 to 5 days for quite a while.
Yeah.
Some exceptions. I was going to take the pistol class that Elias took because it sounded pretty fascinating, you know, when he's like, here's what we, you know, it was crazy exercises like spin around and then shoot a target and stuff like that, you know, when you're dizzy and pretend that this target, you know, that someone you love is standing right in front of it. Yeah. You know?
Great.
Yeah. So, you know, mostly I don't even own a pistol, you know, but yeah. I thought, I mean, that's worth a show. Right there. Have you shot guns in your past?
I've never shot guns. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right.
No, I'm just to the point that I'm like, it's not anything I need.
Yeah. You know, it was perfect. He just took us out and we just shot him and then went home. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get involved in the whole thing.
Right. And I'm just like, the people who are really into it, I don't like.
No, I don't either.
And yeah. I don't need to be into it, so.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would do with a gun, really, other than take it to a target place probably once every 4 months and then just be like, God, I'm really
bad. I think you just get bored and start shooting stuff in the house.
I might. If I owned a real house, I would consider it. Like in the garage, I'd be like, how reinforced does it have to be? You know what I mean? Bunch of sandbags. What am I using the garage for? Park a car, or I could shoot.
You could shoot the car.
Yeah. Shoot a target from 4 feet away. In this garage. I set it up diagonally so I get a good 6.5 feet from my target. Let's see. I was going to finish all of Amazing Spider-Man. That didn't happen. I made some progress.
Comic book series.
Yeah. There are 700 issues, and I've probably read something like 250 at this point. So I made good progress. You know what was the key to making progress was doing my laundry at the laundromat. You had nothing to do, so I just bring it, and then I would get... You could plow through quite a few issues while you're waiting for that fucking dryer to go. God damn. God damn. You have laundry at your house, correct?
Yes. That's we've like gone to the laundromat when we first got our big bedspread.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like one of my
that was
fantasies.
Like an all-Sunday event.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've been going to... There's a 24-hour laundromat in Loveland, so I've been going at, you know, 10 p.m. on Sunday, stuff like that, which works out, except it's me and, like, this homeless couple. I'm not sure if they're a couple, but they're kind of like a couple.
And friendly enough.
Yeah, they're okay. The woman just mostly passes out on the couch. She's taken to, though. I noticed she used to just come in and sleep. And now what she does is she puts like all her homeless stuff in one of the dryers. And I think that maybe she got caught. And now she's going to say like, I was drying my stuff. It must have just finished, you know. It must be hard to run a 24-hour laundromat if you don't want bums
vagrants
hanging
around. Yeah,
because how do you stop them? And it's warm. It's very appealing.
Are you going to be there all night?
Yeah, right.
Poking people.
Because, yeah, I don't want to be there all fucking night. I don't know. I don't think I would run a 24-hour one. What's the point? I don't know. How bad, if you are doing your laundry at 2 in the morning, how important is it for you to do your laundry, really? I was going to take a boxing class. Did not do that. Have you ever done that?
No.
Taken any sort of martial arts?
I bought some boxing gloves once after the, you know, excitement of Fight Club and everything.
Yeah.
We went out to a park and neither me and my buddy could muster a punch to each other.
That was a weird phase in our, you know, growing up in that time. Everyone was like, we should do a Fight Club. And you're like, all right. But then you realize, yeah, you're like, this is like my friend. I don't really want to punch him in the face. Right. And I don't want to get punched in the face really either. This is a terrible idea. You know? Yeah, that movie took on a whole new dimension because you're like, oh man, these people were real crazy. Like, just be punching each other? Oof. Let's see, I wanted to learn how to open my car if I locked my keys in it. Did not do that. I did spend some time looking for, like, unlocking tools on Amazon. You know, the different, like, things you can put in, and I don't even know how they work, but you, like, inflate a little bulb and shit. It's almost like a blood pressure cuff or something.
That sounds way too...
Yeah.
Intense. Intensive.
Yeah.
Like, we have a shim at work, just in case. It's just 040 aluminum with a little notch in it to...
Does that work pretty well?
Mechanism. I've never used it, but I've seen it.
I'd like to
around.
Try.
It seems like it should be the easy way to do it.
I'd like to try. It'd be nice to know. I feel like every 6 months you'll be like, does anyone know how to unlock a car? You know, which I'm always like, why? How does anyone know how to do that? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, most cars nowadays have the key fob or whatever.
Yeah.
Lock it far, far away. But my truck is still manual windows and manual locks.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time, but I do worry about it every once in a while.
I think about it. You know, but then I also thought I'm going to just end up breaking the window trying to learn how to unlock this or get the cops called.
Right. What is this guy doing?
And all the tools on Amazon, they would have like a 1-star review, right. You know, or they're like, it seems flimsy, but I've never tried it. And it's like, how do you not fucking, I would immediately try it. I would try it in the parking lot at work if I got it shipped to my work. I'd be like, I'm taking a break and go out and immediately do it, you know. Let's see. Get an action figure. Are you someone who locks your car, your keys and things often? Has this happened to you many?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. You seem like you're good with keys. I'm not good with keys.
No.
Like, I've been lucky lately, but there's a period where I was just locking myself out of my apartment in my house like every other week. Very embarrassing.
When I first got my license and one day I parked my van at school.
Yeah.
And went inside
And a couple periods in, people were coming by going, "Where'd you go?" Like, huh? "We saw you leave. We saw you take off." And it turns out, like, my friends saw that I left my keys in the van and, like, took off with my van.
Friends of those days were really just, like, ready to turn on each other at a moment, you know. They're like, "Well, I don't want to steal Matt's car, but this is too much of an opportunity to just walk away. We cannot just let this slide."
I'm always thinking, like, what if this doesn't go right? And I mean, one pullover around the block.
And then you have to explain.
And that's a hard thing to explain. I'm just pranking my friend.
No, he's my friend. It's cool. He would think it was funny, probably. I don't know. We didn't check with him. Yeah. One time I locked my keys in my car in high school with the air conditioning blasting full blast and the stereo on extremely loud. And I just got out of the car and shut the door and immediately was like, "What the fuck?" Car's running, full blast. I mean, I wasted a quarter tank of gas going home to get my keys, my spares. I was like, "Well, that was a costly and stupid mistake." Let's see. I was going to get an action figure of myself made. I have no explanation for this. I don't remember the motivation for that or why I would. What would I do with that? I don't even know.
It'd be a weird artifact. Give them to your friends.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be
Merry
a good
Christmas
gift for everybody. I would get ones of them made, but I could just get ones of me. Fuck it. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever thought about, like, sometimes I'll think about giving my mom a picture for Christmas,
right,
like of me. And I'm like, is that weird? Like, here's me. Here's
my mom.
Me.
My mom's so hard to buy for. I've done that.
Yeah.
Picture of me and Christina.
Yeah. I've done it too. You know, I'll do it. Well, just me.
Right.
I don't have anyone else in. You know? But.
Your snow box.
Yeah. I'll be like, "Hey, here's me with a snowman head." What do you think? You could set that on your mantle and be really proud of your son. Let's see. I wanted to go to the Lucero family picnic this year. Didn't do that. Although, from the Lucero family picnic was born the Great Watsonian Brewfest,
yeah,
Beer Fest, so it went somewhere. The spirit was captured, if not the actual event.
One of those festivals put on by the band in Tennessee or something.
Yeah. Well, they're from Tennessee, and they do it in Little Rock for some reason, which I thought, all right, well, that's a good reason than any to visit Arkansas. I'm never going there. But then, I don't know, the hotel was real cheap, too. It was like $40 a night, but the plane was $550. This is never going to happen.
You don't trust your car that far?
Yeah, iffy. Do I trust it that far? Maybe. I feel like what would happen is I would drive there and get back and be like, huh. And then 2 days later, it would just fall. The wheels would fall off, all four at the same
time.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. I drove my brother's car, you know, which was old as shit, but it was better than mine. I drove it all the way up the mountains to Steamboat or something, and then it was fine. And I was like, well, okay. And then a day after I got back, like, the timing belt just completely flew off, you know. Let's see. I was going to brew my own beer. That was completely unsuccessful.
But did you attempt?
No.
No?
Nope, I didn't even try.
We can still do that.
You can still do it, although there's not much time left in the day. But someday, I still like
only,
to do that.
It only
well, this
takes
is for my
weeks.
30 before 30.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately.
Not the year, sorry.
I guess I could try and knock some of these out before the end of the year and still feel like I've made progress, you know, in my year of 29.
See, I've looked it up before. It's like $60 initial investment for a couple of barrels and a carboy and...
I thought it would be a good hobby for me because it seems time-consuming yet not super expensive.
Right.
Which is kind of like the key.
If you drink as much beer as I do, I'd save a lot of money.
Yeah, eventually. The key for me would be hitting on a good recipe.
Right.
And sticking with it because if I make shitty beer...
That always threw me off too is because you have to start with somebody else's recipe. I want a signature beer right away.
I know. Yeah, I don't want to learn. I want to just be...
I want to be good at it.
Yeah, it's like doing the open mic, but I'm like, I just want to have a comedic voice right away. You know, I want to be a 10-year veteran from the start. Let's see. I was going to create a Greeley bar crawl. I did not do that.
I remember you talking about this before, yeah.
Although that could still happen. Maybe this would be a good holiday activity.
Right.
You know, I thought 8th Avenue, roast these.
So
some of these good bars.
little disappointed with the timing of finding out that Patrick's was opening their like fancy beer cellar tonight with a big party.
Oh, is that happening?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a
thing. I know.
Thing.
I just saw it yesterday. I'm like, oh, that doesn't work out.
Beer cellar, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty nice.
Like $20 tickets to this party tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, that sounds like an idea for a tasting. But
that would be pretty fun. Damn it. Well, that'll just have to go on the list.
There's plenty of places to crawl from there.
Yeah. Either way. You can go either direction. You know. Yeah, and they had this thing
we
downtown.
We did that crawl from Rio to the Crest that one night.
We did? What were we doing?
We were hanging out at the Rio, and then we went to the Crest.
I vaguely remember that. Was that when we had our staff day?
Yeah, it was staff day, I think, yeah.
That's right. That's right. And we sat in that other room. That was nice. So we did a two-bar crawl. But, you know, probably the two most popular, I would say, if the Rio is a bar, I don't know. People seem to
enjoy alcohol there.
There's booze there. Let's see. I was going to ride the train from Durango to Silverton or a different train. Did not
Never
do
done
that.
That.
Nope.
I've done that twice.
How is it? Delightful?
Long.
Oh, long. Not good.
After a while, it's... Hey, I even rode a train this year. We did the Pikes Peak Cog Railway this year.
Ah, that sounds pretty good.
That was...
Cold. Right.
Yeah, it was snowing when we got to the top in May. But
I think that this May, I'm going to make an excuse for myself too and say I think this was an activity I came up when I had like a girlfriend.
Yeah,
because this seems like a Pete girlfriend activity. Like we could ride this train together.
Go to my parents' house and dig through the home videos, and I'm sure my dad videotaped the entire ride,
the entirety of it. I could just do it in my living room.
I mean, and I'll blend it to close. You. See, it was great. He get back to the hotel and he had just soot all over him because he was hanging out the window videotaping the whole thing.
He's basically in the exhaust
this
old of the fashioned
train is just blowing soot back at you. So.
You know what? I admire his commitment. It's like, fuck that. I'm videotaping it. I don't care. I
remember Silverton being just this tiny little town with dirt roads that's still old school up there in the mountains, and
I saw pictures.
It takes
and it looked
like
very
three freaking hours.
Yeah, I thought ideally what I would do is, you know, go up to Durango, stay a night, take the train, stay a night in Silverton, then come back and stay in Durango, and then come home. Something like that would be ideal.
See, the turnaround on the train when we took it, we just went to a restaurant or something and got back on the train.
Okay, so, I could do that too.
I'm sure they may have other options, but.
Yeah, I didn't even look into it, honestly. That's, you know, that's one of the goals. The many goals on here that I look at the card and I'm like, huh, that's a surprise. Moving on.
I'm like, nature's nice, but it doesn't change much from the bottom of the hill to the top.
That's true. No, I mean, it's
over
not
three
that
hours.
Big.
Yeah.
I was going to put these two together because this almost happened. I want to take a road trip. And also have something atypical vended to me from a vending machine. I found out there's this place in Texas that vends pecan pies. So I was like, well, that's two birds with one stone. But
don't you have atypical vending machines at the library?
Do we?
I haven't actually
looked. We have a Wolfgang Puck coffee machine.
Right.
That's bizarre when you think about it. But...
if it had soup or something in it, then maybe it'd be special.
Yeah, it's got to be. Coffee's close. It's getting there. People tell me how good that is all the time, and I have to disagree with them. I mean, it's okay. It's not horrific.
Coming in your apartment, it smells like you drink something pretty strong, stout.
I try to, yeah. So I think I probably
overdo vending machine
it.
Might not be
no,
ideal
it's a little
for
thin.
You.
Well, and I don't know. There's something about it just has this flavor, and I don't feel like that machine's being adequately cleaned out between anything. I don't know if it's ever been cleaned. It's not like when the guy comes, I see him with a brush and a pipe cleaner or something. He just fills the shit and
that
goes
away. That was my surprise when we got a Keurig at work.
Yeah. Oh,
is that it's like
a
tank built into the thing, and it just sits there
like
for days and
tank.
Days and days with water in it.
It's gross.
I guess it's not too much different from a regular coffee pot, but
yeah.
that's flushed immediately.
My new thing at work before I left for vacation was figuring out somebody has been putting coffee pods in there and just leaves them in there. You know what I mean? So you put the pot in, brew your cup, but then they don't take their used pot out. And it's a consistent same person. And the biggest problem was they were using the donut shop coffee, which is the kind I had. So I was like, fuck, everyone's going to think this is me. Because I made a big deal out of I bought the donut shop kind. I was like, I don't know
you're
what
being
it is.
Framed.
I think so. I think of being set up. I don't even know that they're drinking the coffee. They could just be putting it in there and puncturing it and then just leaving it and saying, like, we'll show that motherfucker.
Knock Peter down a peg.
Yeah, and I don't know what people are doing with the machine either, because someone was like, the machine's broken. Okay, and then they said, well, we cleaned it out. We put some vinegar and stuff in there, and there was a block in one of the tubes. And I was like, a block? In what? Like, what gets blocked in there? I don't even know what could possibly happen.
Lime scale and gross stuff that's in
water. I
guess
so, which is crazy, though, because I'm like, this is a four-month-old machine.
That's what I'm like. The mechanisms in there are different from the regular coffee pot. It just sits with water in there, and like the hoses are longer. And
That machine is not everything it should be. It's close. We're getting somewhere, but not exactly.
I can make a cup of coffee with a French press and be just happy.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's not taking away a lot of hard work or so. It's not like making.
And if you want
a
an
steak.
Espresso machines are cheap and plentiful.
Yeah,
you can get
true.
A good enough one.
That's true. And I don't even drink espresso really. So for me, it's regular coffee.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know, but I will find out who it is. And your comeuppance is is on the horizon. Whoever you are,
trade my breathalyzer for a security camera.
I should. I should just put up a webcam. Just be like, I'm waiting to find out. It's like every day, and I don't know. Very upsetting to me, you know. This is like the things that you get away from when you go away from work for a few days and don't even think about. But then when you're in the thick of it, it's consuming your whole, you know, my whole day is ruined because I go to open the Keurig and there's a thing in there and I'm like, motherfucker, what kind of unthink, you know, and we've all done it. We've all left a thing in the machine and just forgot every day. Whoever this person is does not think that removing their used cup is part of the procedure. And let me reassure everyone, it is. It absolutely is part of the procedure. Okay. I wanted to ride a top 10 roller coaster. You know, they always have these roller coaster shows.
What's even on the top 10 anymore?
I have no idea. I don't know. I feel
I
like
think
I'd
probably
have to go to
some,
Ohio or something.
Some of the like the really tall wooden one in Ohio is probably still on there from my childhood, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know.
It seemed like roller coaster technology just took off there in the late 90s and left me behind.
Yeah, it's all just craziness. There's not even a car you're in anymore. It just flings you across the park or
suspended
something.
Suspended by a rope on a red track, smashes you into a wall for fun.
Yeah, I seem to remember, you know, there's a roller coaster at our Six Flags that's just a single loop. You go forward
right.
And
I remember
backwards.
When the Sidewinder came out, man.
Yeah, and it was
that
like,
was,
holy
shit.
That
thing goes upside down.
And then backwards.
Would you do that? No.
Yeah, I would never go upside down. Are you out of your fucking mind? Now it's like if it doesn't go upside down, it's just why even.
I always liked circles going down.
Yeah.
There was one at Busch Gardens in Virginia that I rode that I'm like, this is the perfect coaster because that's that circle going the descending was awesome.
That would be pretty good.
I like that more than loops or corkscrews or anything.
You know, the other thing with a roller coaster that I think is a mistake, it always starts with a big drop,
right?
But then that's usually the best part, you know, of the roller coaster. And then
I understand why they did
it
on the old wooden coasters is that that propelled you through the next through few events.
That's how you build the speed.
Right. But now with all the technology and hydraulic cars and crap that are on them. And
I'd put it at the end. It'd be like the last thing. You know, figure that way you get a bunch of thrills. No one would be expecting it. They'd be like, oh, it was okay. And then they're like, oh, my dear God. Let's see. I was going to write a will. I did do one of sorts. I made a crack at it. Turns out it's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
You can't just write a paper that says, like, give all my shit to this guy.
And, right, that's not legally binding.
No. You have to do all these things.
So, LegalZoom.com/helpfulsnowman.
Yeah, right? There was a website. What was it called? Get Your Shit Together?
That was on my list recently too, and expand my life insurance.
Yeah, I need to do that at some point. I don't know. I don't really have a lot,
right?
So I'm not super worried about it.
Like, I think $25,000 was okay when I was single.
Yeah.
But and renting, but now I own a house and I'm married and have bills to pay off if I die.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like so much. And then when you really do the math,
probably
like
$200,000 or $500,000.
I mean, I think I have life insurance, but I have no idea at my work. I don't know. I do.
Yeah, I think you do.
I do a beneficiary, but I don't. I have no idea what he stands to earn from that. You know, I don't. I can't imagine it's much.
A big deal a few years ago, where my parents were like, "Here, you can cash out this policy, but you got to start something new." So I got enough money from the policy they had on me to like pay off all my credit cards and stuff at the time. And
yeah, for me, I feel like I
got a really minimal policy at that point. But
that's pretty smart, though, I think. You know, live with no debt and then die.
But now I'm deeply in debt and wouldn't pay it off with $25,000.
Oh, God. Fuck. Let's not even. I do think, though, yeah, for me, like a life insurance policy would almost be a liability. I'd be like, no one really is going to benefit. All it could result in is someone killing me for the money or me considering ways to fake my own death. That's the only use of this, you know, at this point. Because what do I care? It's not like I got some kid that's going to.
I love those true crime shows.
Yeah.
And speaking of benefiting off of somebody's death, how do you take a policy out on some other person? How is that still legal? That's like 90% of what Dateline NBC is about.
I don't know.
Somebody took a life insurance policy on another person and then killed them.
I can't figure out how that's even remotely acceptable. Like, even if it was a wife or whatever, it's like, this guy's got to at least show up at some. We need to know that he's aware of this policy. That it exists, you know what I mean?
I can't take out a insurance policy on your car and then come over here and crash it.
Right? that would be, or, you know, that'd be like if I, you know, Jennifer Lopez takes out an insurance on her legs. Be like if I did that and then went and broke her leg, you know? And I was the beneficiary for some reason. It makes no fucking sense. And if I was married and then I got home and my wife is like, I just took out a huge life insurance policy out, I would be frightened. Be like, oh my God.
To the pistol course.
Yeah. Be like, thank God I got all these guns that you don't know about, you know. But if I hit a drawer, it just pops out. And so I don't know. I'm just telling you that. I don't know why. No big deal. My last one was to blow $100 in bizarre fashion, which I did not do, although maybe that's a good thing.
Right.
Probably a financially lean enough year that I did not need to blow $100 in a weird way just for the story.
And drop $100 at Powell's or something?
I probably could. I don't know if I'd consider it bizarre. I guess it depends what I bought. I could get some weird shit there. It's some pretty good weird books. Bizarro fiction and whatnot. You know, where it's people like eating each other's tumors or whatever. It's real weird. But yeah, so that's I accomplished very few of my goals, is what I learned from this year. Not a lot of goals accomplished.
Time to start on the December list.
I guess so, yeah. I guess maybe it's got to be before the end of 2013. Let's not make 2013 the worst year of my life. My least accomplished. Well, we did it.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Fine.
Good? Did you have anything you wanted to add? Anything we needed to get to?
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Sure.
Riding your bicycle all the way across town to come see us. Anything that you'd like our listeners, anywhere that you want them to follow you or find you online, or not really? They're kind of shitheads. Yeah, fuck them.
Progressivegrown.com, I guess. And
yeah.
That'll lead you anywhere.
That's a good Tumblr follow, too. Is that does it link to your Tumblr?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the where I'd go. It's a good one. Stuff you'll like. The best Simpsons stuff, and then a lot of other good stuff, too. I see other Simpsons stuff, and I'm like, fuck that shit. But the ones you do, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. All right. See you later, everybody. I hope this is goodbye. There was a time when I thought you were a friend of me. I think those times I was probably just drunk. If they offered a chance, then I'd be
you ever really took from me were my records to sell them for gold. Now all I have left is this heart and my chest and my happiness will be cold. I hope this is goodbye. 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 Since I've been close to you, it's been a long time since I've been sad. It's been a while since I really spent time with you. Wish I could take back the times that I had. The only thing that you ever really did for me was make me oh so miserable. The hope that I never see your face again is anything but questionable. There was a time when I thought you were a friend of me. I think of times I was probably just drunk. They offered a test of I being a good friend. I put money down that you truly flung. The only thing that you ever took from me were my records that I could put through. Now all I have left is this heart and my chest. Your dishonesty helped me cope. I hope this is goodbye. Yeah, I hope this is goodbye. I hope this is goodbye.
Seems it never ends. Double nickels on your dime. I thought we were friends. I guess it just depends who you ask. These feelings tend to